You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Tonight, your special guest hosts for the evening are PJ Mancakes and Batter Boy.
Hey, Dizzle.
welcome, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. We just got back literally about an hour and a half ago from our ghost hunters trip out in Rhode Island. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit with Paula Donovan from the TV show Ghost Hunters, and Taps will be on hand to talk with us. We're also going to be talking to Ray from Scars Magazine, which is a great new magazine coming up. And then right after Ray, we're going to be talking to Lisa. And Lisa is one of the newer members you probably recognize from the Ghost Hunter shows, show as well, and from the season finale. So we'll be talking to all of them. First off, though, we've got some exciting news. Last year, I had the opportunity to attend the UNIVCon 4 out at Penn State University in October. It was a great opportunity to go out. I met the Ghost Hunters, met a lot of fantastic people like Rosemary Ellen Guiley, John Zaffis, Lou Gentili, and on top of it, two of the guys I respect most in the paranormal field, and we've got one of them on the line with us this evening, Mr. Ryan Buell. He's the director of the Penn State Paranormal Conference, and he's on hand with us tonight to discuss the UNIVCon 5 guest and info announcements. Ryan, welcome very much to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. So you're going to announce with us tonight who you're going to have on.
Sure.
Great. Who have we got coming up? And this is going to be the first weekend in October, correct? The 5th through the 8th.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, I got a little long list here. We've got, first of all, our keynote speakers, or our tentpole speakers, of course, are Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters. And it just seems that every year they get a bigger following. And I know that on their website they've said that they're signing on for season 3.
Yeah.
And they're actually going overseas for some episodes, that, and they're supposed to start in September. So we're looking forward to that. And what they do every year, what I like, is that they change it up a bit. And what they do is they discuss some of the evidence from their previous episodes. So I'm sure the season finale, which had a lot in it, I'm sure they're going to discuss on hand.
Yeah, they were great last year. I mean, so many people that have been complaining about the show during the first season and a half at the attending the Penn State Conference last year absolutely fell in love with them. They were great. They put on such a great presentation, and the two guys are just the funniest, screwiest guys you'll ever meet. They've got a great personality, great sense of humor about what they do, and they're also really professional. So they are definitely worth coming out to see. But if that wasn't good enough, you've got Jason and Grant. Who else do we expect to see?
Well, we've got Keith and Carl Johnson, who are the demonologists on the show. Ron Milione, who I guess he's the equipment manager. I'm not sure what exact title is, or his official title, but he was really popular last year. One of the big things that ghost hunters and ghost enthusiasts are really interested in is the equipment. And as you know, there's no set course out there as to how to use the equipment or even what type of equipment to buy. And he was really good on showing people. Not only did he bring some equipment, but and he helped, you know, I think he sold some of his own personal equipment, but he really took time over the entire weekend to sit down and show people how to use it and what it's for. You know, an EMF detector will, you know, you don't just push a button and look for, you know, spikes. I mean, there's more to it. So right. We're bringing him back. And then that was one of the biggest demands was equipment. We have Chris Fleming, who is from Dead Famous.
Great, yeah, friend of our show, yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. In fact, Sergi, our conference manager, spoke to him for like 2 hours, I think. So he's a good guy. And I can't remember last name. They didn't put it on the write-up, but CJ, what's her last name?
Oh, CJ Sellers, the medium and friend of our show, right.
I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She seems very, she knows what she's doing, and she seems very, you know, enthusiastic. So, and we have, you know, Rosemary Ellen Guiley's returning.
Oh, and, excellent news.
Yeah, and she, you know, I grew up reading her book, so last year she contacted me, and it was a last-minute thing, but she wanted to be a part of it. But, you know, now that we have planning and now it was way ahead of time, you know, we're bringing her back, so we're really hoping that, you know, more people can get out to see her. And we have Elfie Music as a pagan. She's going to teach some pagan courses, also about the occult and how it's used in the paranormal. Greg Schreier, who is, he's more of a religious expert, and he was pretty popular last year. And then Dr. Tor Nordmark, who is a chemist and parapsychologist. And also we're talking to the people at Haunting Evidence, and I think their show premieres in a couple of weeks on Core TV.
As a matter of fact, we have Patrick Burns, who's going to be on our show with us next week. And then in about a weekend or so after that, we got Rosemary Ellen Guiley on the show. So, yeah, we've got a lot of these guests who'll be able to hear a little bit about them, help whet your appetite for the Penn State Conference as well.
Yeah, and some of these people on the list, of course, you know, Dave recommended, and these, you know, were great people. You know, we got a great lineup. It's great to have this bunch in one room. It's just the energy between all these people when you get them all lined up is just phenomenal. And, you know, I'm really excited about this year. It's our fifth one, and our numbers double every year. I think we had northward of 600, 700 attendees total between students, and some people even flew into the event. And, you know, we're expecting, you know, hopefully over 1,000 this year.
Awesome. Are you going to be offering up courses like you did last year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, people, they want to see more workshops. We're trying to give it to them. And, of course, we're probably going to add more people as time goes on. We, you know, we still have a good 4 months as of tomorrow. But, you know, we're going to offer workshops. We're going to offer lectures. One of the things that we are going to do that I've been wanting to do forever is offer a live debate, kind of like a panel, a cross panel, you know, kind of like Crossfire on
right.
CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's going to be before a live audience, and that's going to kind of be our opening gala, you know, our opening event. And,
will it
know,
be
so
a cage
we'll
match, Ryan? Can we expect blood and violence?
I would love to see Jason and Rosemary go at it.
Yeah.
You know, I think Rosemary can throw down. But, you know, we'll see. I just, you know, I'm really excited about this year. Every year we try to bring in some new blood. And, of course, Jason and Grant, like, they are really, they know their audience, and they will just sit there and talk to them forever.
Yes,
like,
they will. They're perfect gentlemen.
Yeah.
They take pictures, autographs, they make time for the people there. Yeah, they were great. Everybody will absolutely love it if you come out. Well, this is almost a little mini TAPS conference you guys are having.
It is. It's like a little, it is. I mean, that's how it feels, but I'm for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that Jason and Grant are great. You know, a lot of people were starstruck when they saw, you know, during the workshops, Jason and Grant were just hanging around, you know, just, you know, going to the workshops, and the people were just like, I can't believe they're just so laid back. You know, and we knew, and I knew them before the TV show blew up, and they're just the same old people.
Now,
and they're really enthusiastic about what they do.
How soon can people start purchasing tickets in advance?
As of tomorrow.
As of tomorrow, great. So they can do that, and how do they do that? Where do they go buy those?
PennStatePRS.com/conference, but, you know, right on the front page, you know, probably tomorrow evening it'll go live. We're still working the kinks out on it, but, you know, tickets will go on sale. We're going to offer a limited number just because of the fact that we usually get hit hard, especially in October. So
right.
Go ahead.
What kind of price do we expect on the tickets for the presale?
We're going to go with $40.
Oh, great.
And that's, And, you know, to me, I'm like, oh, that's a $10 spike. But a lot of people, when we told them about it, they were like, we don't care. You know, most places charge northward of $100 for an event like this. So, you know, it's still pretty cheap.
Oh, definitely, and it's well worth it. $40 to get the chance to see Jason and Grant, Keith and Carl, Ron, Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, CJ Sellers, the medium, will be on hand. She'll be doing a little talk and a gallery reading. She'll also be doing individual readings, I believe, as well. She'll be set up. Rosemary Ellen Guiley will be there. She'll be talking about all different aspects of the paranormal, and I'm sure she's going to be leading a couple of the little symposiums. Elfie, Greg, Dr. Tord, Nordmark, you said?
Yep.
And possibly the guys from Haunted Evidence, right there alone, that's well worth the price of admission. Is there anything special? Are they going to be doing any ghost hunts on campus again this year?
Yep, we're going to do it. The ghost hunts were a huge hit, and, you know, Lou Gentile was there, and he got some great EVPs. And, you know, unfortunately, we kind of, you know, Lou comes every other conference, but we're going to do the same thing this year. We're going to open it up. We're going to try to allow more people, because last year it was just once. So this year we're probably going to go all night for both Friday and Saturday to allow people to go in there. I know Chris said that he would do a ghost hunt, and you know, maybe some of these other, you know, speakers wouldn't mind doing it. You know, like maybe even Carla or whatnot. You know, Penn State's a very old campus and it has, you know, some dark history to it.
Definitely.
So you know, it's definitely worth it. I mean, it's just people loved it. People were really into, like, they were really into it, and there were some freaky moments too in there. But you know, there's a great group of people who were leading it.
And those tickets are going to be available starting on your website tomorrow at PennStatePRS.com, and that's going to be for the first week in October, or first weekend, I should say. Right, it's October 5th through the 8th at Penn State University. And if you have any questions or you want more information about the conference, you can check right at their website at PennStatePRS.com. We'll also be talking about it as it gets closer on the radio show. Tim and I are going to be out at the Penn State Conference this year as well to say hi and check out all the great classes and all the great events that you guys are going to have going on there. And we'll certainly be here to help support you and get the word out.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for coming on and spending some time with us this evening, Ryan. I appreciate you giving us the heads up and being the first person to release the information regarding the upcoming event. So again, write it down on your calendars. I highly suggest it was probably one of the better conferences I've had the opportunity to attend in the last year here. It was definitely the best conference I've had the opportunity to attend. And that's going to be in October, the first weekend, 5th through the 8th, at Penn State University. They've got great setup, great hotels, great food places right there nearby. It's just a really nice experience. And again, tickets are going to go on sale tomorrow, probably tomorrow evening, starting at just $40 a ticket. So make sure you check out the website. And thank you very much again, Ryan.
No problem, Dave.
Appreciate having you on the show. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, co-host and board monkey, Tim Dennis.
Cheap, cheap.
There you go. We're going to be right back with Paula Donovan from the Ghost Hunters right after this.
Riveted to the edge of your seat? Good. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you read Tapster Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
I could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Tapster Mag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
This show is so frightening, it'll scare the pants off you.
Beat it.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
On second thought, maybe you should just keep them on.
You'd be amazed how often I hear that.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader.
That's me. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I will apologize. I'm already stumbling all over my tongue this evening from lack of sleep and just being up having too much fun over the weekend.
I thought it was because of our first guest.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, well, she's actually our second guest.
Hey, now. That you don't want to drool over Mr. Buell?
What do you mean?
You wouldn't drool over him?
No.
He's a hottie, too, you know.
Well, you know, you can feel that way, Tim, but I'm more interested in Paula J. Donovan.
Hey, now.
She's our next guest here, and Paula was a new member to TAP's Paranormal Group last year and appeared on a number of the Ghost Hunters shows this past season. We have Paula on hand with us this evening to discuss her role with the show, some of her personal experiences. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the Paranormal Weekend Retreat we just did. Welcome to the show, Paula.
Hi.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Did you get a little sleep in after the long weekend?
I got a short nap, but I might also be stumbling over my tongue.
Good. Well, then I won't be the only goofy sounding person aboard tonight. I wanted to thank you very much for attending the program with us this weekend. As I mentioned, for those of you that are familiar with the Ghost Hunters show, Paula joined here in the beginning of the second season, was in a number of the episodes. Paula, what got you involved in doing the paranormal show with the Ghost Hunters?
Well, I've always been interested in the paranormal, so I joined TAPS, not for the show, but of course for the investigating and the research into the paranormal. And I don't know. Of course, if you're in TAPS, you're always.
And I hear you get free donuts if you're in TAPS. Is that
yeah,
what you really
say? Free donuts, free pranks on you all the time, all sorts of fun stuff.
Did you have a certain event in your life that took place that got you really interested in the paranormal?
No, I don't know. I always just grew up interested in it. I had a mom that told me when I was scared to not be afraid at night because I had my guardian angel, things like that. So I guess it was always an open possibility to me, but I never had any big event like some people talk about.
So would you consider yourself kind of a healthy skeptic of the paranormal then?
I'm very skeptical. I have a scientific background, so it's hard to believe that it couldn't be explained with science, but...
What,
I'm open to the possibility.
What have you viewed that you feel might be a paranormal? I mean, have you seen something that you feel, oh, wow, that could be paranormal, or have you still got reservations to admit that?
Yes, I always have reservations. Usually when I see something that could be paranormal, I don't say it out loud because I realize there's probably just an explanation there that I haven't figured out or that isn't obvious to me or isn't obvious yet in the field.
Is there anything that's really kind of stood out to you that you just don't know how to explain?
There's, like, little things that maybe aren't so hard to explain scientifically, but it's just hard to tell where it's coming from. Like, at one of the penitentiaries, I heard, like, footsteps banging up the stairs when I was in, like, a room, and it was hard to explain where they're coming from, but I can't, like, exactly explain what might have caused them other than something paranormal. So I'm not quick to assume that it was paranormal, but I don't have an explanation for it, so... Right.
Now, doing the show, has there been a favorite episode for you that's kind of popped up?
I'm not sure about favorite episode. Maybe favorite location was definitely Myrtle's Plantation down in Louisiana.
Okay.
That place was awesome. It was beautiful just to see, even if nothing was going on. But I think that place, I would love to spend more time there. I think that place definitely had potential.
Potential.
I know they deemed it haunted, but I would like to, I don't know, I like to see stuff firsthand before I believe it, so.
Oh, no, I understand that. We had the opportunity this weekend, for those of you that have been listening to the show, and hopefully some of the new listeners we picked up because of this last weekend, we did a ghost hunt out in Rhode Island with the lovely Paula and the even lovelier Steve.
Oh, yeah.
They joined us for a ghost hunt out in Rhode Island. We went out there, had a conference on Friday night with Keith and Carl, who came on out, the Demonologist Brothers, and did a little talk for us about demonology, the vampire lore of Rhode Island, and ghosts. Then there was a really great little autograph signing session that night, and we had, almost the entire TAPS crew show up. We had Grant, we had Steve, we had Jason, we had Paula, we had Donna, Steve, everybody was on hand for the evening signing autographs. That was great. And then Saturday, we got a chance to tour the TAPS office and get to meet Brian and Dustin and Mike Dion. Was a great surprise, a nice guy to meet as well. Now, is he going to be more of the part of the show? I know he was only in a couple episodes this last year. Is that right?
Mike Dion?
Yes.
Yes, he was, and I don't know what his plans are. He's that was actually the first time I've ever met Mike Dion, so that was a nice surprise for me too.
Oh, great! Yeah, everybody was so kind. I can't tell you enough. I mean, we're getting inundated with emails since we got back from the event of everybody telling us how much they enjoyed it and what they enjoyed most above and beyond doing the ghost hunt and everything with you guys was the fact just how nice you were to them and how kind and you know pleasant and. You know, everybody was just really, really excited to get the chance to meet you guys and have that time to share. Now, you got a chance to break off with three different groups and do some paranormal investigating on the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys kind of broke up. You were going over teaching them a little bit about ghost hunting, what to watch for, what not to. Can you tell us a little bit about a couple of the experiences you had? I know you're still skeptical about it, but I have something neat to share with you. If you can share some of those stories that occurred with you last night.
Okay. It was a lot of fun. What I did was I had the three different groups, so I kind of had like a little experiment in my head. So I didn't tell any group what any other group was doing or where they were finding more activity or having more experiences. So it was kind of fun to compare the similarities between the groups and the differences. And one of the things that occurred in the second and third group that went on to the third floor with me was in the second group there was four different people that left and... at least three of them didn't know about each other, and they left with, they left the room, and one even left, like, the floor because they had really heavy tightness in their chest, and they were coughing, so they were under distress. And then in the third group, of course, I didn't tell them what happened in the second group, and I don't think there was an opportunity. I'm pretty sure there wasn't any opportunity for those people in the two different groups to talk about it. There was two more people in the third group that... had the same experience, so that was interesting.
Now, was that in my haunted room that I stayed in? Was it in the room, or was it in the hallways, or where?
At least four times it was in your room, and the other two, I'm not sure if it was in your room or just outside of your room.
And you're sure it wasn't the noxious socks that Tim and I had left on the floor?
All right? Over the place.
Or the dirty underwear hanging
yes.
from the lamp.
No, that wasn't ours. That was the listener.
Oh.
They left it in there for us, I swear.
Nope, it wasn't that.
Well,
so.
Here's something interesting. We were told by one of the gals who was trying to get the story straight for us that that room was inhabited by the spirit of a woman who had committed suicide by an overdose of pills.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, we were actually able to speak to somebody that was there and part of the hotel when the death occurred. And it was actually the man that died on our floor.
Oh, really?
And he died by slicing his own throat open. Choking on his own blood. Now, I thought that's pretty interesting since none of us knew that story until this morning, and we didn't even tell this lady what had happened. She began to tell us about, you know, the death that had occurred up there. That would make sense with the four people and why they felt that tightness in the chest and the unable to breathe in the throat. So I thought that was a pretty interesting little twist to it.
That's awesome. I actually like that better because I think it's better, especially with big groups like that, for them to not, I mean, you don't want people to feed into mass hysteria, so.
Right. And
I actually think it's better for them to not know the story because then they can tell us what the reactions are or
well, the
some
other
people
funny
are trying
things,
to come up with, tell us what thoughts were coming in their heads, so.
Right. And one of the funny things about it, too, was that they were getting male-sounding EVPs upstairs and in the bedroom on the third floor.
That's what I was going to say, is that they were speculating, too, why the EVPs might have been male, and there was even one that just sounded like a long drawn out help me, so.
Right, and which is interesting, we mentioned that to the lady. She had said, she had told us that when the suicide had happened, he called down to the front desk, and all he said was help me, and he did it in this gurgling fraying voice.
Uh-huh.
Which is interesting because one of the girls on the investigation got a sound very similar to that on an EVP.
So
with that in mind, that's kind of interesting. Again, we didn't even really realize which floor was which, and here we heard the whole story today and get it all clear, which like you said is kind of cool, and they didn't know what had occurred with our event last night, so it really helped to validate it. You know, we're going to review it. We got a ton of EVPs and pictures that were sent to us already since mm-hmm. the event. So I think what we're going to do on July 4th is we're going to pre-record the show, but we're going to invite a bunch of the people that actually went on the investigations with you and were able to obtain some evidence like EVPs and some of their personal stories with the choking and feeling unable to breathe. We're going to share those stories and give them a chance to talk about the event and what occurred as well.
That sounds great.
Yeah, that should be an exciting little venue. But now, what do you make of that? I mean, being a scientific nature, And now knowing that they didn't know these things about the room, none of us knew about this until the morning after. What's your thought on that? Would you recommend or not recommend? Would you agree that that sounds like it's something of more of a paranormal nature?
Are you setting me up?
I'm just curious what it would take for Paula to go, holy crap, this might be a haunting.
Might be a haunting, easy to say. Yes, it might be a haunting. I guess that's all great, and it makes me more hopeful and want to believe instead of dismiss it really quickly. But, I mean, I guess with all of these types of places that this all would give us hope, I would want to spend more time there. I wouldn't call it definitely haunted. Especially EVPs are tough because they're pulled out of the noise. It's hard to say that you're not actually making something out of basically nothing. So
isn't that Nerve Supply song, Making Love Out of Nothing at All, Tim?
Would you like me to sing it?
No.
Oh, sorry.
That's actually what I was thinking. No.
That's not a pancake. That's a man cake.
Yeah.
That was my best line. Was
yes,
from the whole
it was.
Weekend, I think.
Yeah, well, we had a great time doing the investigation with you guys, and doing that. I know some of the other people were able to obtain some pictures, so we're going to try to put those up on our website for the 4th of July weekend event as well, so people can review the pictures, review some video evidence that we have. I guess there's a couple of videos that we have of you, Paula, that were sent to me already.
Uh-oh.
I guess as a joke, at one point, the room was blacked out, and somebody was in recording in the bathroom, and you asked for a sign, or they asked for a sign, and you flushed the toilet on them. So nothing like showing the newbies how to do it the proper way, huh, PJ?
I did, you know, both ends of the spectrum. I did goof a little bit because it's a long time to be hanging out in the dark with each other. But but I mean, I also went through the technical details of an EMF detector and that. So, and I remained quiet for part of it, too. So I tried to behave is my point.
One of the other interesting things that we heard was that there was somebody was picking up on a child spirit on one of the floors.
I did hear that, but I didn't hear any details about it.
Neither have I, so I'm hoping we can get more on it, because I don't want to give too much of the information away here, but the lady, Dawn, who is the morning manager, I believe, over there at the Fairfield Inn and Marriott in Warwick, Providence, she was the one telling us a story about this man that had slit his throat. She also had a story about a couple of, what she believed were ghost appearances by children.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to find out a little bit more and see if it coincides with what we were told. So that'll be interesting to hear as well and see if we pick up any children's EVPs.
Mm-hmm.
With doing an investigation like that, what is your main concern? Are you afraid of, like you mentioned, mass hysteria kind of breaking out?
Yeah, well, nothing crazy, but part of it was what I was worried about as like the kind of the person that was leading it was to keep it organized so that everybody had their own time in the spaces where they wanted to spend time and just not too many people in one place at a time, so it wasn't getting hectic and, you know, flashes going off everywhere, people trying to ask questions at the same time. But it worked out pretty well since we had the whole hallway. Good job setting it up, Dave, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
Because we had the whole hallway, so we could send a small group into the room that was supposed to be the hot spot, and other people could kind of mill around in the hallway and see what they felt out there.
Right, and in the hallway there were visions or sounds of children and rapping and other noises that have been known to happen on those two floors. It's a haunted hotel. So if you are interested in checking out a haunted hotel in Rhode Island, of course you want to tell them what you're coming there for so they can help you get into the haunted rooms. You want to call over to the Fairfield Inn by Marriott in Providence, Warwick. And the phone number there is 401-941-6600. Tell them you heard about it on the Darkness on the Edge Town radio show and you'd like to investigate. If you want to put together a package with a group, they're fantastic and are more than happy to accommodate and help you with that as well. Now, going forward, Paula, with the different shows and things that you've been a part of, one of the things that I've told you about personally, and I know you've heard quite a bit about, we really liked was the use of, I think it was the thermometer used in one of the shows, mm-hmm. and how quickly somebody was to assume that the change in temperature was, you know, going crazy, and you stopped, you took kind of a deep breath, and instead of just buying into it, you started looking for the actual source.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you found was one of the lights, correct?
Right. Yeah, it was a halogen lamp.
So halogen will have an effect on heat and cold, I mean, even when it's off?
Well, not the halogen, it's the electric.
Okay.
That's something important to remember when you're doing EMF work, is that devices like halogen lamps, anything electric that's
well, I thought
in.
It was the thermometer that you were using, and it dropped like crazy. It went like to negative 30 or something.
Yeah, what happened was it was electrical interference.
Okay.
So the important thing with the lamp being off is that it was still plugged in, And when something's plugged in, there's still electricity going from the wall up to the power switch. The power switch acts as almost like a release. So when you turn it on, it lets the power, the electric through to turn the light on. So even though it's off, there's still electric there. And that was what was emitting enough power to interfere with our thermometer. And I could tell that, I mean, I could just tell right away that it was, I mean, it said it was -9 degrees, and I knew that my right. hand wasn't freezing right off the bone, so.
Well, and that was really nice. Not that I'm beating up on the other guys from TAPS, but as we've seen on a few episodes, they're sometimes a little easy to jump the gun and think something's going on. It was really nice to see you kind of take a deep breath and, well, let's check into this a little bit more, and you found something like that. Because I would guess, especially for newer investigators, that would be something that would just set somebody off and get them really excited, finding something that drastic in a temperature change or EMF spike.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
so that,
pretty much my take all the time. Whenever there is something, even if it seems completely crazy and exciting, and I mean, I would rather it be something paranormal and a ghost coming up to shake my hand, I will always assume that it's not, and I'm going to stay calm and look for what it is first.
And let me tell you, folks, she can't be fooled, because Tim was walking down the hall with a sheet on, and she just beat the hell out of him with a tennis racket. She had no fear.
She tried to shake my hand.
You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening is Paula Donovan from the TV show Ghost Hunters. We'll be back with Paula and talk more about her experiences right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
2006 is here, and for many of you, another year has passed without treating you and your loved ones to a much-needed getaway. Rocky Shores Resort has just what you're looking for. Join owners Jerry and Kim Pipp at their family-themed resort that offers a heated outdoor swimming pool, volleyball court, playground, spacious lodge with games and activities for the whole family and more. With 6 2- and 3-bedroom cabins that are affordable, comfortable, and fully furnished, and 12 seasonal RV sites, Rocky Shores Resorts is perfect for a private escape or for a family reunion. The resort are located on the east shores of Bowstring Lake in the heart of the Chippewa National Forest. Here you can relax and enjoy nature in the Great North Woods, experience dozens of area attractions, and get hooked on some of the best northern perch, panfish, bass, and walleye fishing in northern Minnesota. Call 1-866-878-0101 to book reservations or check out their website at rockyshoresresort.com for more information. This year, don't ignore the call of the wild. Embrace it and enjoy yourselves. That number again is 1-866-878-0101. Rocky Shores Resort is open year-round. Call today.
Women today are busier than ever, making it harder and harder to take care of ourselves. I'm Robin Leverton, owner of Chow Bella Permanent Cosmetics in Brooklyn Park. We specialize in beautiful, natural-looking eyeliner, eyebrows, and lip color. We provide professional and personalized service in a sanitary environment. When you choose Chow Bella, you are guaranteed the gentlest method available. I'll work with you one-on-one to help you achieve your desired look. We offer a full, rich color palette that will accentuate your natural beauty. If you have allergies to conventional makeup, suffer from hay fever, watery eyes, or the embarrassment of little or faint brow color, and you want a look that will stay fresh all day, every day, then we have the perfect solution for you. Time is a rare commodity, and with Chow Bella Permanent Cosmetics, we help you take control of your time by giving you a low-maintenance, fresh appearance that you will love every day. Book your appointment by January 31st, and you will receive a 25% discount. You deserve to look your best, and at Chow Bella, we want to help you. Call 612-306-4961. That's 612-306-4961.
If you read Tapster Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
I could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Tapster Mag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
If you bleed from the ears while listening to Leo Sayer records, would it qualify as a paranormal experience? I thought so. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Ooh, that hurts.
You've got a cute way of talking.
Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Our guest this evening is Paula Donovan. Paula is a newer member this last year to the Ghost Hunters TV show. Now, had you watched the show prior to joining it, or how did you get involved with TAPS themselves?
I didn't even know people used technology to study the paranormal field, so that's why I did watch the first season, and that's what caught my interest. Because, I mean, I'm interested in the paranormal, obviously, and I'm really into technology, so.
Well, being a scientist and being involved in technology, do you see that there is a use for those tools that is a legitimate use, or is it just kind of jury-rigging it to hopefully get it to do what you think it's going to do?
Well, I mean, it's research. So the devices, I always say this, the devices don't prove that there's paranormal activity there. What they do is when you know that something's going on, you need to start taking the notes and noting down what the devices are doing, what the EMF readings are. Even better if you can see what the frequency is of those readings, see what your thermometer gauge is doing. Better if you have an ambient temperature gauge and all that. But if you write down the type of haunting or paranormal activity and you start taking these notes, then you can go back and start lining up like what the similarities are and what things don't seem to be common occurrence. I'm sure we're not even using all the devices that we need to be using yet, and some of the devices maybe aren't useful, although we think they might be right now.
Okay.
Hey, Paula, it's Tim. Can I go back in time for a second here?
Sure.
Sparrow wrote in on the Darkness Radio bulletin boards, which, by the way, you can join in on the chat either on the is it Infinity Chat that we're doing,
yes,
Dave?
Yes, Infinity, welcome Infinity Paranormal Group, mm-hmm, for tuning in, and Infinity Network for doing the live chat during our show. And you can get there by going to our website at darknessradio.com, click on the Discuss tab, and then click on the radio show link. And then in there is a new link each week that talks about our show and what we're talking about. And there's a link you can click on that'll take you directly to Infinity's chat. But go ahead with the question, Tim.
So Sparrow was hanging around, and she wanted to know, while you were doing the investigation on the third floor, did anybody report a child running up and down the hallway? She said that it sounded like there was something running up and down in the hallway on two. She was on the second floor.
Huh.
But if you'd like, I could debunk it for you.
Sure. Okay. I didn't, to answer your question.
And I think Dave knows where I'm going here.
Let Paula go. Let's see what her answer is.
I didn't hear of anybody saying that there was a child running up and down the hall on the third floor.
Okay.
But go ahead, debunk it. This must be a joke.
No.
Tim, it's a joke.
Oh, sure. Nobody takes me seriously. When we were, Dave and I were downstairs with Keith and Carl, and they were doing their presentation.
Uh-huh.
There were kids running all throughout the hotel.
And, I wouldn't say all throughout the hotel, but in the main lobby and on that
floor.
Well,
they were playing in the elevator, too.
Oh, were they?
The management sent them after these kids. And they were also running in and grabbing juice and running out of the presentation that they were doing in the main lobby there. So I guess I would say to Sparrow, if you heard something running up and down the hall, it might have been the kids for real. It's like real life kids instead of ghost kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. On the third floor, though, it was interesting because people were probably having similar experiences and catching, maybe they might have even gotten pictures in the hallway. So that was a great floor to be on because there was a lot going on in the hallway as well as in the room from what it seemed to be going on. So
let me ask you, as a skeptic, what would it take for, what event would have to happen for you to believe that it was a really a paranormal experience and not just a hallucination or mass hysteria or Brian smoking something funny?
I definitely put more merit into stories I hear from people that I know well and can trust. However, I don't know. I guess it'll have to happen to me to let you know.
Well, that's what I'm asking, though. I mean, what could happen? Do you need to see a vaporous form appear in front of you and speak or you know, shadow?
Yeah, like if I was in a room and an object moved by what would look like by itself,
mm-hmm,
I would still assume that there's something going on with energy fields or something scientific that we haven't explained yet. If I actually saw a see-through person moving it, then I would definitely say, hey, that must have been a ghost.
Well, what's your feeling? Is there, do you believe yourself that there's a life after death?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you believe that people or spirits can be trapped here after their death?
I definitely believe that it's a possibility, which is why I am really interested in the paranormal.
Okay. What would you suggest for people that are getting involved? I mean, since your show came on and there's been so many, you know, other paranormal shows like this, everybody and their brother's putting together a paranormal group. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend for these new kids that are getting started to do before they start going out and doing investigations? And
definitely,
by kids, I don't even mean just the teenagers. There's just as many, you know, 30, 40, 50-year-olds that are just getting into this now because they've read a bunch of books and watched Ghost Hunters, and now they want to go out and help cure the world of their ghostly problems.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suggest is a good thing to do before they start?
Definitely, I mean, read what you can to learn about it, first of all. Secondly, you don't need that many devices. Maybe if you just have a digital camera, and that's even a great place to start. But any other device that you happen to have or feel like you want to have, make sure you know how to use it correctly. Make sure you know what the anomalies are or how to look up what they are after the fact if you get one. Because that's a huge thing I see is people don't know or understand either what the device is reading, what the readings giving off mean, and how it works. And I would say to start at maybe friends' houses. If people tell you a story, ask if you can go to their house. I wouldn't go out to people's houses to try to help them if you don't know exactly what you're doing yet. So those are the three things I would recommend.
How long do you think people should study or do this field type of, you know, presentations or practice with friends and relatives' homes before they start going out and trying to help the general public? I mean, do you think, I know this is a not a science, if you will, mm-hmm. I mean, but do you think that they should maybe take a good 6, 7, 8 months to a year to really make sure that they know what they're doing and make sure that they know how they're going to help people? And do you think it's important, too, that you're not doing it just to prove to yourself that there's something paranormal and to maybe go see something cool happen at somebody else's house? You should be going there with the intent to help out or figure something out for this family?
I think that it's different for everybody. Just, I mean, once you feel comfortable with it, and I don't think you necessarily have to have an experience. I mean, I personally didn't do much investigating on my own before I joined TAP, so I was lucky to have great people to learn from and to show me the ropes, but I had read a lot and I felt comfortable. I knew myself well enough to know that I wouldn't, you know, scream and run if I saw something. So I would say just to get to that point where you're comfortable, you're not fumbling with the devices you're using, you have a pretty good knowledge of them, and you've learned how to debunk some things so that if, you know, something's going on at a house, you might be able to tell the family what it might be or look into it. And I would say, I mean, it's different for everybody. I wouldn't say that it needs to take a year, but it would definitely, I mean, give it some, whatever time you need to learn it yourself. And I think it's really important to know yourself well enough that you're not going to freak out and run, because you don't want to scare a family that are already scared, you know?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
And I guess one other point is that you also need to be ready to put the time in, because it turns out to be a case that you can't explain right away. You might need to go back a couple of times and be able to give the family the time that you need to give them to explain to them what's happening or help them if it's something you can't explain.
I'm just curious from your point of view, if you went into a house and they said, oh yeah, we think we have the spirit of little Susie May and she's from the 1800s and a cute little girl ghost we've seen, blah, 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 and oh, it's never been anything bad. She just moves our pancakes, or, you know, she does just silly innocuous little things. But then you guys are there doing an investigation and you get an EVP of some satanic voice saying, I'm going to kill the family. Do you tell them, or do you just, well, no, because why scare them with this since it's never been a bother to them? Because do you feel that by giving it power, and I just mean it in general, the whole idea of it, that could just make things worse for the family?
Well, first I should say I've never had that happen. I suppose if it did, I would, I mean, TAPS never would say anything until we've left. We would talk about it and probably decide what to do. If it was up to me, I don't know. I would need to look into it more. I would have to see how strong the EVP was, if it was really believable or just maybe could be something we thought we were pulling out of the noise that might not have really been anything. If I really believed that was, you know, could really be a demonic voice in the background, then I guess I would follow up with the family and just make sure that nothing that seems malicious is going on. If there wasn't anything, then I wouldn't worry, but if it seemed like something was taking a turn for the worse, then I would definitely recommend our group to get back in there.
Now, would you suggest, a lot of demonologists, a lot of people that have been involved in the paranormal say, stay away from things like, you know, Ouija boards and scrying, especially in your home, because it's just opening up doors and inviting things in. Do you think that doing EVP collection in your home is kind of doing the same thing? You're giving light to whatever's out there to come to you and try to make contact? Do you think it's maybe a good idea not to do that in your home because it may just invite more trouble?
I've asked the same question myself. Having thought about it a good deal, and I mean, there's no definite answers in this, EVPs, you're not really giving anything power over your body, where with a Ouija board, you're saying, you know, use my hands and arms to give me a message. The EVPs, at most, you're giving it control over your device, however it works, to give a message. So I don't think it's the same thing. And from what I've heard, the more experienced investigators say that they've seen bad outcomes from Ouija boards, but haven't seen bad outcomes from doing EVP work. So if experience tells you anything, then that would be the answer.
Well, doing EVPs and photography, EVPs is probably the easiest one to dismiss, wouldn't you say? Because with EVPs, you know, you can't actually, there's no shielding built into most recorders or digital equipment. I think it's a federal law, they can't shield it.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is the case, what do you really think of EVPs? I mean, do you feel that there are legitimate contact being made or attempted, or do you think most of it, I mean, just in your opinion right at this point, do you think most of it's just bleed over noise from maybe radios, airplanes flying overhead, a police scanner, something like that, that you just might be catching that your ear normally did not hear?
I personally have a really hard time believing in EVPs. I mean, I would still carry the device with me and see what I get and be interested to hear it, but I have a hard time believing that it's really somebody from beyond trying to speak to us, because like you said, you don't know exactly what's going on with the device, what might be causing it, but also there's a lot to say behind the physics of how audio waves travel. And just because we can't hear it with our naked ear doesn't mean that, you know, somebody talking down the street or around the corner can't, you know, the audio waves can't actually travel to your device and get filtered out.
Well, right, because, I mean, there's radio waves. There's constant FM, AM, and all types of bands that are being out there that you can't hear with your raw ear. You need a device like a radio.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no saying that most of these devices, you know, I don't know how they're built. I don't know if it's a lot of the same kind of equipment that's inside of a radio or a transmitter that would be picking this up. I mean, it'd be pretty fair to say that a lot of that, you'd have to be subjective. I would think, too, if you're doing EVPs, if you're getting direct answers to your questions,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's your name? Bob. You know, how old were you? 32.
And that's what I was going to say,
not
too.
Not just, oh, do you need help? Get
more
out.
More experienced investigators right. have said that. Like, wait until you get an EVP that's a direct answer to a question you've asked. And
mm-hmm.
I haven't heard an awesome example of that. Like, you're saying, what's your name? And if it actually told me my name, maybe then I would be freaked out. But
are you a leg man or a breast man?
Yes.
You know, stuff.
So.
Uncomfortable. Okay.
Anyway.
I was talking about chicken, you pervert.
Yeah, you were.
But I'm open to the possibility, just like with all of this stuff. So, I'll keep doing the EVP work and see what comes out of it. And
have you had anybody present you with evidence that you thought was, oh, that's pretty cool evidence, that you thought, how about even like, you know, they just did that big lighthouse episode
mm-hmm.
where they caught the spirit going up there, and you respect and like the guys from TAPS,
mm-hmm.
Especially Jay and Grant, they've been kind of mentoring you in doing this. What are your perceptions of what they saw? I mean, do you feel that there was something there? I know you weren't a part of that actual investigation, but I'm sure you guys have had a chance to talk about it and discuss. Is it something that you're still kind of holding yourself back to, and I'd just like to see it for myself first?
Yeah, definitely. I actually haven't talked to any of them about that. I do remember Dustin telling me that it was really crazy cool, but I definitely respect and trust all those guys. So any story they've told me, I think what they're telling me is definitely what they think happened, and they have a lot more experience. So,
but that's important. It's what they think happened, right?
Right, and I guess I say that strongly because I'm not convinced that without, you know,
do you ever watch the show and see the evidence that they get so excited about that you think, I don't know about that?
Well, like the image in the thermal camera that looked like a man that was in the
locker
one of the
door,
hospitals.
Right.
Things like that, that's just amazing, and it's hard to dismiss. That's one of the best pieces of evidence I think I've seen from the show or in general. But pretty much with any of these experiences, I still think, unless you can prove to me without a doubt that there isn't some kind of other technical or scientific explanation, then I guess I would say I mostly believe these things, but...
Well, let me ask you this, too, just from a skeptical standpoint, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's, for the hell of it, let's assume that there are ghosts.
Okay.
Okay? And that they can, in fact, affect electrical devices.
Okay.
Okay? Now, I have a short in this light above Tim's head in the studio.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so it flickers and blinks. But here's the deal. Just because it's flickering and blinking because it's got a frayed wire, okay, couldn't it also be that because it's the spirit or the energy knows that that's a lot easier to manipulate? So even though something may occur naturally, Or could be, couldn't it, does that dismiss the fact that it could be paranormal? Do you know what I'm asking on that at all?
In my mind, yes, because I think if you made another exactly the same frayed electrical wire someplace else, it would probably do the same thing. And then you would have to prove to me, then you'd need a proof by induction and prove to me that there was a ghost at every frayed wire that has a blinking light.
Right, but if the frayed wire, yeah, but it, so if we did an experiment where we had the exact same frayed wire on two lights, and I said, okay, spirit, make the left light blink now, and the left light started blinking. And then I said, okay, now make the right light blink, and it started blinking the right light. That would be something that you would consider conducive, correct?
No, because, I mean, that's theoretically saying that the frayed wires are identically frayed.
You were just too hard to please, Paul.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean, you can't actually in the real world make two, that's part of the problem with the paranormal field, is you can't make a perfectly controlled experiment.
That's right.
In the real world where the paranormal activity is happening.
Well, Paula, I want to thank you very much for being on the show with us tonight.
Sure, it's been fun.
Time went by really fast. I do appreciate you being here with us. I also want to thank you very much for being a part of the weekend. And you're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. I want to thank some people that were involved in the event this weekend.
Can I also thank everybody that came this weekend?
Definitely.
It was a lot of fun. It was great to meet everybody, and I had fun being part of it. So thanks for putting it together, Dave.
No problem. We enjoyed having you. I want to say some thanks real quick to our friends at the Fairfield Inn by Marriott in Warwick, Providence, for hosting our weekend event. If you're in Warwick and you're looking for a great place to stay with friendly staff and haunted halls, make sure to give them a call and book your reservation at 401-941-6600. Or if you're looking to book a larger event and want more rooms, call and ask for Andrea Delegati at 401-941-6600. We'd also like to extend a warm thank you to the Bugaboo Creek Steakhouse in Warwick, Rhode Island. Chris and his staff gave excellent service, fantastic food, very reasonable prices, so stop in and try anything on their fantastic menu. Tell them your friends with the Darkness Radio Show and Taps. I'd also like to thank the publishers of Llewellyn Publications for donating some great books as giveaways this weekend. Make sure to pick up any of their great paranormal and New Age books by visiting Llewellyn.com, and that's Llewellyn. They do some of the best paranormal and New Age books anywhere. They gave us great books, How to Be a Ghost Hunter by Richard Southall, and House of Spirits and Whispers, a true story of a haunted home in Minnesota by author Annie Wilder, and Graves End, a brand new book. It's a true ghost story by Elaine Mercado. Our thanks also go out to Top Heavy Clothing for donating Taps t-shirts and beanies for the weekend. If you want high quality Ghost Hunters and Taps merchandise at great prices, visit them on the web at www.topheavyclothing.com. And Taps Paramag as well for donating some autographed issues and free subscriptions. If you don't already have a subscription, go sign up for it now. You can do that by visiting their site at www.tapsparamag.com. Scars Magazine has also donated a free few subscriptions to their new true crime and horror movie magazine. You can visit them at scarsmagazine.com. We'll be talking to Ray from Scars Magazine right after the top of the hour. And a big thanks again go out to Steve Gonzalez and Paula Donovan of Taps, and also all the members of Ghost Hunters for making appearances this weekend. We had Jason and Grant, Brian, Steve, Dustin, Lisa, and Donna all made a visit, along with Keith and Carl and Sandra Johnson from nearparanormal.com for the great lectures both nights. And again, we couldn't have done it or had the fun without all of you, the fans of Ghost Hunters and listeners of Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Thanks for attending and making a memorable weekend. And tune in 4th of July weekend as we speak with guests from the Paranormal Retreat and review their evidence and have them share their experiences with us. Again, before I wrap up, I want to huge thanks go out to Medium CJ Sellers for being on hand to do mini readings. Also to Robin, our phone girl, for all her help and time she spent with us on the event. Make sure to tell her happy birthday if you call in or see her on the boards. Today she is her birthday day, so you want to make sure to say hello to her. I also want to say a very special thank you to my best friend, producer, and partner on the show, Batter Boy, Tim Dennis.
Aww.
And if you're lucky enough to have gotten a reading by CJ, please post on our bulletin and let everybody know about it on our site, MySpace, MyParaSpace, and any other paranormal website. She's a great woman. Visit her at cjmedium.com.